Hello, everyone. Glad to see everyone here and more joining. I am Liv Siptak. That's Liv, L-I-V as in Victor, short for Olivia. And I am the admissions coach for the school. And I also teach the elective course called Writing, Creativity, and the Mindful Coach. So I've kind of got a little bit of a dual role here in this world. And this call is something that we do every month as a way to give people an opportunity to experience coaching the way that we teach it in the school, and to ask questions about the school, to be coached. Sometimes people can join us and get some free coaching, which is fun. And just generally to create community. That's one of the things that we are about. And this is a way for us to promote community. So hooray for all of you for being here. And it's great to see all of your faces in this community. So I am gonna start us with some centering, as we do in the school. And I will invite you during this time to, as it's comfortable, either close your eyes, blink them closed, or just simply soften your gaze, perhaps allowing yourself not to be taking in any visual stimuli. So however you're comfortable, let's go ahead and begin and enter the space. And as that chime may reverberate in your oral sensory aspect, or in your heart, or just in your imagination, I'll ask for you to consider the idea of reverberation, of echo, of things carrying, whether it's sound, whether it's air, the feeling of air on your skin, whether it's water that you can see, for example, in the rain that's happening outside for me, the water that's hitting puddles is creating a beautiful reverberation of circles in the water. And consider how what is in your heart can reverberate through all of your physical body, your energy body, and then outward to those who are in your circle, social circle, professional circle, family circle, all of that. Consider the opportunity to recognize that what is in your heart can carry. And what would you like that to be? How would you like that to carry into the world? So taking one more full breath cycle, a full in, that noticeable change over to a full exhale. And then you may rejoin. And on that note of reverberation and things carrying, I wanted to read a quote from a gentleman named Jason Reynolds. Some of you may know of him. He writes novels primarily for young readers, young boys And he's an African-American guy. He lives in Brooklyn now, but he grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, which is where I grew up, coincidentally. But he had this, it just was such an amazing thing for me to come across this afternoon as I was thinking about this sort of ripple effect that we have the opportunity to have in the world. And he says, imagination is so powerful that it could set forth 400, 500 years of something wrong, which means that it very well could set forth 400, 500 years of something right. That's sort of the beauty of humanity. So this idea that what we imagine, what we carry in our hearts, what we believe, especially if it's the good, that we have the ability to, that can reverberate and ripple throughout the circles that we move in, and who knows where that will carry. So I love serendipity like that. All right. So during tonight's call, I'm pleased to introduce Matt Rizak. He is our newest teacher here at the Mindfulness Coaching School. And I wanted to kind of bring him in today and give him the chance to introduce himself, but also to talk about the class that he is going to be teaching. He will be taking over the Art of Engaged Mindfulness, which is one of, really, I think of it as kind of our flagship course. It is truly the foundation of mindfulness, and how mindfulness has kind of grown and sort of reverberated out of kind of more purely spiritual situations and begun to have really important effects in areas, as I'm sure many of you know and probably experience yourself, healthcare and social justice and business settings and the like. So it's such an important course because it sort of spans so much important input as to why we incorporate mindfulness in training coaches. So we are not just in the business of, as I sometimes say to students on admissions calls, we're not in the business of pumping out coaches. We want for people to be great coaches, to grow themselves, to find opportunities for their own mindfulness practice, and then to take that out into the world for the clients they coach and just in their circles that they move in. So Matt, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about the course and what you are looking forward to bringing. And also, because you're offering this course this summer in an intensive format, maybe you could tell us a little bit about what that is and why you're doing it that way.
Sure. Thanks, Liv. Thanks for the introduction for the lovely intro to our time here together. About how much time would you like me to take, Liv? I've got a couple different directions I could go, depending.
I don't know. We want to do some coaching. We want to have people, give people the opportunity to talk. So maybe, I don't know, 7 to 10 minutes.
Okay, great.
Does that work?
Thanks. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. Thanks. So maybe to begin, what I'd like us to do is just a very simple exercise to get an experience in our bodies of engaged mindfulness. Because the title of the class is the art of engaged mindfulness. And I would love to have a little bit of a conversation before I kind of give a little spiel about the course. And I would love the chance to just draw upon your own experience of what engaged mindfulness is to do that. So it's a real simple, just two-step activity we're going to do. We're going to breathe in and lift our arms up slowly above our heads. You don't have to do it right now. I'll just do a sample, or if you can practice. And when you're lifting up, really think of the experience of getting engaged, like your muscles start to get engaged. The lifting up is this feeling of reaching out, like you're wanting to do something or somehow put yourself into the world in a new way. It's definitely an active gesture. And while you're doing it, breathe in, taking a nice deep breath, until you reach up to the very top and try to time it so that your hands and your arms are straight up right at the very top of your breath. And then I want you to exaggeratingly slow drop your arms, extremely mindfully. You may need to do a couple of exhales as they go down. Feel the aliveness of your arms as they drop. See if you can shift your awareness fully into your arms. Arm awareness is at the forefront right now. And I especially like the sort of lowest part of the arc, because at least for me, it's like the arms don't totally want to go all the way down. Like they're sort of being suspended a little. I don't know how that works. And I would love to hear from a couple of people of like what words or associations come up for you when you hear this phrase engaged mindfulness. Like this is what pops in your brain.
I can start, Matt. Maybe this will kick us off. Yeah. Sorry. It to me is the difference of, like, I think about sitting on the cushion as being very, like, solitary a lot of times and very still. But at the same time, there's this sort of like paradox of like, it is engaged because I'm engaged in actively like monitoring my mind and keeping it still. But then I'm also like, if I'm being engaged in my mindfulness, I'm mindful even out in the world, like when I'm off my cushion. So I'm sort of like thinking about engagement as being an active thing as opposed to just the still part. So that's how I'll kick us off. Hopefully nice. Other people can talk about it more articulately than me.
For me, it's the words that are coming to mind are things like being present and being purposeful in the way that you do things.
Yeah. How about others?
Yeah, I would say it includes being aware of your own baggage that you bring to a conversation. Okay. And it's not about eliminating the baggage. It's just about being aware of it so you can kind of sidestep it. Often in my coaching, I'll start listening to myself and saying, I'm pushing my own agenda here. That's not my role as a coach. And I can just stop. Sometimes I'll even say, I'll point out to the person I'm coaching what I just did. I'll say, I just misspoke. And the other person loves it. It kind of creates a psychological safety between us because I'm not, you know, I don't try to hide my mistake. I kind of say, whoops, I kind of said the wrong thing there. Let me explain it. And it really works.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm hearing themes of self-awareness and transparency in there that maybe are connected with engaged mindfulness. How about one more person? Just associations, word. Yeah, Laura.
Yeah, so kind of on the same path, Matt, like the three words I wrote down were conscious, aware, and present. But it's also kind of like from listening to the conversation, what's coming to mind is like, I can do a practice, but I'm actually going to show up for the practice, right? I'm not just going to do the ABC. I'm going to like kind of be with the A. I'm going to be with the B. I'm going to like totally embody it as well as literally. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, being in the brain. Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
That's great. No, thank you. Yeah, about like the energy? Like what's the energy of engaged mindfulness, if you were to describe it? You saw someone doing the dishes with engaged mindfulness. How would you describe their energy?
Balanced inward and outwardly.
Nice, lovely. Balanced inward and outwardly. Can anyone think of a time that they saw an example of engaged mindfulness? There's in your household.
Top athletes are incredibly, I find, engaged.
Uh-huh. Nice, thank you.
That comment was just echoed on the chat. Riley says, watching the Olympics. Yeah.
I'm a dancer, so.
Oh, yes, perfect.
Yeah.
About any other examples people can think of where they've seen it in action?
When I go for my bike rides, I notice bugs flying through the air next to me, or birds flying with me. Like, I notice things in the air more than just this, like, what was that? Like, I'm actually, it's like a slow camera video, which is really interesting.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the Matrix, like some of those kind of slow motion things where suddenly whatever's moving super fast is comes into these thin slices frame by frame, and somehow being able to observe that or experience that. That's really cool.
It makes me think of when you're hiking or biking, just the fact that some people hike for the task or to get to the destination. Some people do it to actually have the experience, and I think there's a quite a bit of a contrast between the two.
Yeah. So why does it matter? Like, what's the significance of why does it matter to connect engaged and mindful? But
I think it's all about quality. When we're not mindful, we're kind of just mailing it in. So we can go through the motions, but it seems like people can really sense that you're thinking about something else, or you're preoccupied, or you'd rather move on. So in a funny way, I think we shortchange ourselves and the person we're coaching. It's both of us, because we kind of cheat ourselves out of life. So if you're not there for 20 minutes or half an hour in your coaching session, it's kind of like you didn't live that 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. It's some major mattering. Between living or not living. It's powerful. Thank you. Anyone else have comments about why it matters, what difference it makes?
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and just say, so my monkey mind is not running the show. So I have ground and presence in what I'm doing and how I'm showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. How about think just for your own self in your own life, and bring back in that phrase engaged mindfulness. And if you had to, if there was a question that emerged, like, what's the question that's really tailored to yourself about engaged mindfulness that, yeah, if you were going to spend a day in inquiry around engaged mindfulness as it related to your life, what question might you ask?
For me, it would, I have an image of, mindfulness being like a monk. Okay. And the monk is standing in this stream, this river, and I'm going over saying like, hi, and we take hands, like this monk is going to help me get into the river. And so there's a give and a take that I would like to have for that day. What can I give mindfully, and what can I receive mindfully? And just a last tag is the art of engaged mindfulness makes me think of art, craft, design. Like, it's a joyful, creative engagement.
Lovely, thank you. About other people's questions.
How can my engagement be like generative and creative and supportive, so that the inflow, outflow, the generate, you know, it's there's the engagement is self-fulfilling and self-generating. Mm-hmm. That's how I kind of experience that kind of state.
Some of the questions in the chat. What is in the silence? Joy shared, Riley wrote, what am I paying attention to? What is my experience? Rachel wrote, where, what, how, why I want to be. Okay, my last question is, So what's this have to do with coaching? This is the mindfulness coaching school. Michael writes everything. Good answer.
Yeah, it's everything. I think if we're not aware of mindfulness, then we can't model it. And I don't see how the person you were trying to help or support is going to find any clarity around anything. Or maybe they'll do it on their own, but I don't think the coach is going to help if they're not mindful. Yeah. They're not going to be positioned to be much aid.
Yeah.
Brené Brown says, you cannot give to others what you cannot give to yourself.
I also think it helps us stay in the coaching seat as opposed to the agenda, noticing what I'm up to. And then, you know, of course, we all know how that helps support the client. Had something else that's not coming to me, so I'll leave it at that.
I'm not a coach, but I'm a teacher, and I want to create like a nonverbal space to inhabit between two people so that much deeper resonances can come forward and much deeper nonverbal things can arise. Mm-hmm. And I can do that through engaged mindfulness in the space of another person.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like kind of accessing a broader field of wisdom and almost information and intuition than just what we get up here.
And helping whoever is there kind of sit in there with me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you.
I love that. That's that whole global listening aspect of coaching that we bring in, which is you're listening to more than what is, way more than what's being said. And it is it's what are you feeling in the space? Can you be in the space? Can you sit together in the space? Like, I love the way that you're getting at that.
Yeah, me too. And so the way my current sort of understanding of things in terms of human development and our growth as people is we all have these really amazing qualities that are at the core of all of us. And Richard Schwartz, who came up with the internal family systems, calls them the 8 C's. And I borrowed those a lot. They're like caring, curious, creative, courageous, confident, calm, connected. A couple others that I'm not remembering right now. But that those are always there. And when we're able to live from those qualities, then we're our best selves. Like we make our best choices. We see our situation in our life most clearly. In those really difficult moments, somehow the words come to us that are needed, and they don't always come from in our head. We're able to access all of these different types of intelligences in our bodies and in our guts and in our intuition, and in what's going on in the space around us, as you described so nicely, Lance. But as we all know, we don't always access those things. So what do you do when all this other stuff is around? And what do you do as a coach when you see that a coachee, someone who you're working with, is not in that space? What do you do as a coach when you're not in that space, but you got to be coaching? What kinds of things, practices, daily practices can you put into place to try to create those traits within yourself so they're more abiding and are more easily able to access and more present to you day in and day out? And these are the kinds of questions that we explore in the Art of Engaged Mindfulness class. To me, this point has already been made really well by Liv, but the chance to have this class as one of the requirements through the mindfulness coaching school is really what makes MCS different than other coaching programs, because we're able to really bring in and like draw upon all of these wisdom traditions and contemplative traditions and create a community of practice where we can experiment with ourselves, what it's like to develop a more mindful stance in the world and more mindful approach in the world. But then we actually have people that we can talk to about it. Lots of times, you know, meditation can feel like a very solitary endeavor. And the idea of trying to, you know, talk to someone else about, oh, this was what I was working on in meditation this morning, seems really awkward, or sort of like, oh, would they care or be interested or have any, you know, be able to connect at all. And the, one of the things I really love about the class is, here's a chance to connect with other people who are doing the same thing and able to get into some of the nuances and the kind of quirks of what the experience is like when we're developing it ourselves. So real quick, kind of the three main aims of the class. One is to either develop, like start or deepen your own daily mindfulness practice. So at the beginning of the course, you define a daily practice that you'd like to commit to, and then do it day in and day out. And that's sort of part of the homework and part of the, I guess, the opportunity of the class is to create that space for yourself if you haven't already. And if you have already, like I said, a chance to deepen it or maybe experiment with some new things and to connect with other people who are also in that practice. The second is kind of exploring how mindfulness connects with our sort of day-to-day lived experience and what does it look like to live from this open-hearted place and to be, you know, welcoming of challenges and like receptive to both the internal and external messages that we're experiencing at any kind of particular moment. What are we learning as a species about the science of mindfulness and how it relates to performance and how it relates to kind of just our optimal way of being and learning. So there's kind of a lot of that in the class. And then exploring kind of a variety of sort of a potpourri of different kind of mindfulness approaches and tools that you can use for yourself and that you can also bring forward to your clients as coaches. One thing that I would say is this really wasn't been designed to be a coaching first class, but more of a mindfulness first class. And so it provides, you know, hopefully this foundation of kind of mindfulness principles. And I always think of like compost, this sort of rich soil of mindfulness practices, experiences, and ideas that then you can draw from and kind of pull nutrients from as you learn coaching skills and coaching practices and have to take other courses that are more particularly focused on coaching. Let's see. Oh, the accelerated course. So this is the first time that this course is being offered in an accelerated way. And that just means that instead of having eight classes over 8 weeks, there'll be eight classes in 4 weeks. And so we'll meet every Monday and every Friday. It'll all be the same content, but it's accelerated. And if you're like me, there have been different moments in my journey as a student at Mindfulness Coaching School where I wanted to speed things along and like, okay, I want to get these hours in so that I can work towards my accreditation or whatnot. And hopefully this accelerated class will be helpful to some people in that way. So are there any questions, comments, reflections? Mindy's currently in the class. Mindy, if there's anything you'd like to pipe in and I'd welcome that, but you certainly don't have to. Don't want to put you on the spot.
Well, I'll just say that it is my first class that I'm taking at the school, and I'm so glad it is, because it's setting a nice tone for me getting centered before I take on more coaching approaches. And Matt is wonderful at asking thought-provoking questions. And we have wonderful discussions. And I've been reading about mindfulness for years. I'm just going to tell you that. And it's not new to me, but the books I'm reading in this class are new to me. And I'm learning more science-based effects that I never knew about. And that's fascinating.
Nice. Thank you, Mindy.
So, I'm sorry, I just have a question. I'm looking at the schedule and it's the Monday, Friday, August 2 to 27. Is that correct that you're talking about?
Yeah.
And are you doing the September session and also the January session?
Yep. Although those won't be accelerated, but.
Right, exactly. And then the last question, since you did start with an arm exercise, I'm a dancer. And where does somatics come in for you?
Yeah. I'm personally just inspired by somatics, and I have to say it's relatively new in my just growth and as a human, I mean, in the last few years. And so I'm constantly feeling like I'm exploring and learning new ways to bring it in. I would say that it's a thread, but not like, you know, it's not like it has its own unit. Mm-hmm. But I would welcome suggestions. And I try to be adaptive during the course somewhat to what people's interests are and where the conversations are going. And so if you were there and really wanted us to focus on that, that might be a good inspiration for me to find ways to explore it further.
Yeah, we are, we often use mindfulness as a way to reconnect with our bodies. And so it's really a lot of what we're doing is finding the awareness of the body again, because it's for so many people it's lost. As a dancer, that's not true for you.
Well, it can also work in the other direction, is what I was gonna.
Yeah, totally. So we do a lot of body awareness kind of things. And then the movement comes in when you take the Qigong class. And I will tell you also that because we are a school of adult learners who come from all different forms of experience and walks of life and professions and prior learning, that we do find that courses are enriched when we have someone like you or Michael, your experience in coaching, any of those types of backgrounds really help, because we encourage people to talk about what have they experienced and how does this work? Because it really just helps to enrich the community and enrich the learning. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that helps. But like we've had people who come in with yoga experience, you know, teaching yoga classes, and they often can offer quite a bit of additional richness to the students in the class just by sharing their experience leading classes, especially leading people through growth points in their lives through movement.
And just to build off of something Liv said, one thing that I think is true is that whenever we have sort of a reactive pattern or a habit pattern that sort of gets set off, and that our mindfulness practice can help us start to identify, it always starts with a physical experience. And so we do spend some time trying to like understand how those habit patterns work. And so, you know, first there'll be some kind of a physical experience that many of us totally miss because of, you know, Immanuel Kant said, I think therefore I am, and put us all up into our heads. But from that physical sense experience comes an emotion. And then from that emotion comes a thought. And then from those thoughts come particular behaviors. And then those behaviors oftentimes reinforce beliefs that we have about ourselves or about the world. And so it's trying to slow that process down and see it through mindfulness practices is something that we spend some time in. Any other questions or remarks?
So is there a recommended sequence to all of this? When I go on the website, I see the core classes and then I see electives. So I assume I haven't gone that deep to know how many electives you need to take, but obviously the core classes you have to take. Yeah. Is there, you know, does it make more sense to take the stretch class first, or does it really matter? Can you do them in any order?
So what I typically do recommend that someone starts with either stretch or Argon Engaged Mindfulness. Either of those gives you a nice kind of foundation coming into the school. You get a sense of kind of how we work, how the community feels, confirming that it fits. stretch is also nice because there's a bit of kind of like, there's real good focus on kind of personal growth as well. And to be honest, one of the things I actually like about people starting with stretch is that sometimes people go through that class and they actually discern that, gosh, coaching isn't for me, but now I know this is my way, you know? So there's a lot of great kind of self-exploration and kind of connecting with your path that happens in stretch. And then as we've heard from Matt, the foundation and kind of the mindfulness practice and why we do link that with coaching and why we feel that that's important is a great way to start for on the Art of Engaged Mindfulness side. So a lot of times it comes down to what works with your schedule, to be honest. And then from there, there aren't really any kind of hard and fast prerequisites, but I do recommend that those are the places to start. And then from there, you can take, like a lot of people then go into skillful means and then continue on that way. And you can pepper in electives along the way. You don't have to kind of like, if you're going down the PCC route, it is not required that you finish all your core classes and then start your electives. You can put them in as you go, and especially if there's something that you're really keen to try. So I hope that answers the question.
It does. If you look at the schedule, it looks like Matthew's offering this in August and the next stretch class begins in September. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's kind of teed up nicely to do a kind of a 1-2 punch.
Yep. Good. Yeah, and it all, like a lot of it, again, it comes down to what works with your schedule, because everyone has other professional commitments, family commitments, you know, lives, and then you're trying to fit in your coursework, personal development work. And the one thing I will say about that is sometimes if you look at what the schedule has coming up, and we have yet to post what's next, like the 2022 calendar, will be coming out soon, but know that the classes aren't only offered at those times. So like each term, we try to offer them at different times because we know that we've got people at different time zones, especially in the global sense. But sometimes it'll work differently. You just have to kind of keep an eye on if a particular course doesn't suit your calendar in a particular term, okay. More than likely it should.
It'll pop up again.
Yeah, it'll jiggle out some other way.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. Great questions. So I did post the, the link. Words are hard. The link to the course page, if anyone wants to kind of check out that, then... please do. And yeah, Matt, if you've got anything else you want to say, that would be great.
Well, if you're interested, I sure hope you'll come to the class. it's a pleasure. This is true of all the classes, but it's just a pleasure to be present to one another's learning, and especially around mindfulness. And like Liv said, this was the first class of the Mindfulness Coaching School that Anne Marie McKelvey started the class or started the school on. And so it's just really a real pleasure and an honor to be carrying forward this class in particular.
Yeah, it is. It's great. We're glad to have you, Matt. There was something that I was going to say about it that, and I have now lost my thought. So if it comes back, I will let you know. I'm just gonna Riley's question of do we have any classes led by Black or Indigenous people of color? So we have had in the past Natasha Thompson had been teaching the course that was based upon Harriet Tubman and the teachings that or teachings and learnings that we can gain from Harriet Tubman due to a lot of very crazy circumstances in terms of like moving and her husband switching jobs and all kinds of things. She's had to take a pause from teaching that class. She is an African-American teacher and coach. And we have had the woman who started she taught one of the classes in the past, was also an African-American female. She is the woman but for whom we have named our scholarship. And so we currently don't. But it's not something that we are, it's not something that we say, oh, we shall not. We actually welcome and encourage people of all backgrounds to come forward and join the school. And then we often find from our students, people who will become our teachers. And so that was the case for Natasha. That's the case for Matt. That's the case for myself. And we do also offer that, like I said, the scholarship, which is specifically for people in that community, the Black, Indigenous, or people of color community. So we do attempt to continue to support people of all backgrounds to becoming coaches, because we need people of all backgrounds to meet the community needs in our world today. So I hope that answers the question. And we are affirming of LGBTQ lifestyles and so forth. And we have, that is part of our community. So that's another thing that I'll go ahead and address. It's important to us to be fully inclusive and welcoming. Great question. All right, we have 20-ish minutes. We do a little bit of coaching and do a little bit of unpacking of that coaching. Matt has agreed to be my client for this evening. And so we will probably do about 10 minutes of laser coaching, I guess you could call it, or speed coaching, like speed dating. Is that a thing? Speed coaching? Okay, I'm just going to set my timer, Matt, so that I can keep us on track. And then what I'll ask is that everyone's muted, but if you could also just drop your video for the time being so that it'll just be Matt and I. And okay. So just for everyone's background, so I'm going to do this kind of like by the ICF approach. And then what I'll ask you, just as you're observing, notice what's happening, notice what's not happening, generate questions about what you might want to learn more about. And yeah, we'll just kind of chat about this after we're done. Okay, Matt, do I have permission to coach you today?
Yes, please do. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. So before we begin, I just want to remind you that as an ICF credentialed coach, I do take very seriously my commitment to confidentiality. So this conversation and our work together is between you and I, the exception being that this evening we do have our colleagues and friends with us. And we are recording this particular session as well. So just want you to be aware that this is a little bit different. And offer you the opportunity to ask questions about that if you might have any, or if you're good.
I'm good. Yeah, thanks for explaining that.
Okay, perfect. All right, so where would you like to go to and get to by the end of today's session?
Yeah, I would like to sketch out a personal practice that will help me to remain open-hearted in times of stress.
Oh, so, wow, okay.
Yeah. Could just be something simple, but it's one of those things where I feel like.
So wait, you wanted to get to a personal practice.
Yeah.
So yes. So what that sounds like to me, and tell me if this is kind of off base, but like a bit of a kind of a step by step of like what the practice is.
Yeah, a little way that I can shift in the moment when I'm starting to feel myself contracted stressful situation or even a stressful, period.
So I just want to make sure that we're clear.
Yeah.
So is it the, like, here's, it's going to be step one, step two, step three, and this is what I'm going to do? Is it that and or what happens, like, when I need to notice what's happening, like, is it where the trigger point is and where the tipping point is to when you need to apply it?
Thank you for that clarification. I think it's more the steps.
Okay.
I think I already have a good sense of the other piece.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm curious, why is this coming up right now?
Yeah, I had a pretty stress-filled, more than usual. I mean, we're all busy and there's a lot of pressures on everyone. I'd say the last 6 weeks, I had a couple of things happen that took me up into the unusual slot. Okay. And I just found that being true about myself. Like, I wasn't always able to connect with the people I loved in the way I wanted to during that time. Because what I would do is like get very narrow and focused and like, okay, I have to, focus, work hard, get this thing done and push it.
So what you're looking for now is like, what do you do when you're in that space and off we go, you're shifting.
Yeah. And I can feel like, oh, this is my own.
Okay. All right. So what would be number one?
I want something that it would bring up an association to something that I just makes me feel really alive and really in flow.
Okay. So what does that mean, association?
Yeah, like an image or a memory that I can go to that's really particular to my lived experience.
Mm. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Would it be helpful to explore what that might be now?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, I'm just wondering if maybe we do a little, because I noticed your eyes were closed and you seem to be sort of getting into a place of calm, even as you were just talking about what does association mean to you. Mm-hmm. And so that made me wonder if maybe you're kind of in this space where you might feel compelled to see what that might be.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Yeah? That'd be very helpful.
Okay. All right. So just eyes closed. And maybe starting with noticing how you are supported. Without any effort on your part, maybe the chair, if you're sitting in a chair, or the ground underneath you. The floor, the earth. And then recognizing first where in your body that association of calm and happiness and where that lives in your, or where it's currently sitting in your body. Maybe it's not living there all the time, but where is that?
Yeah, definitely in my heart space here.
Okay. Okay. And what would it take for that to spread a bit, to reverberate potentially into the rest of you?
I'm wanting to amplify it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I can see breathing maybe would help to kind of spread it, but it feels like it needs like a little booster.
Okay. Yeah. So what might be a way? And it might be maybe it is a movement. Mm. Maybe it's a word.
Yeah.
Maybe what might it be that could help to boost it?
Yeah. So something really particular is coming to me. So this is the kind of thing I was looking for. So I was hiking in the Sangre de Cristos with two of my daughters. Mm-hmm. And they're both teenagers. And one of them got really tired and sort of done with this particular hike. And so we had, kind of an altercation. And
what's happening to your heart now?
Well, it's kind of smiling. Okay. It's smiling because I know that like the story ends well.
Okay.
But yeah, she was done with this hike. And so we were kind of at a standstill and somehow I was able to like, even though I was triggered, not really be reactive And it, you know, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't like, you know, Paw Engels somehow coming through with some sort of a, you know, this is just what the dad should do in this situation. But we made it through, and she started to go down first on her own. But the surprising thing that happened was my other daughter and I then had a good 45 minutes of connecting really closely.
Okay, so what's happening to this heart space right now? I'm wondering, is there reverberation? Yeah. Is there boosting?
Yeah, the, for sure, boosting.
Okay.
As I'm seeing this like progression of the stressful moment and then the connection.
Okay.
And that's what I want to be able to more consistently offer to my loved ones when I'm, when I'm stressed.
Okay.
So I'm kind of wondering if like, I mean, you know, we were walking downhill and there's this sort of like lumbering thing that your body does when you're going down the path. And I, part of me wonders if like, that's the thing. Like start, like if making that movement and recalling that memory.
Okay,
got it. My daughter kind of put me back into this experience that I had.
Okay.
Of being open-hearted in a stressful
Okay. Open-heartedness. That sounds, okay. So just for a moment before we kind of rejoin each other, if you would, if you'd be willing, would you put one hand first on your heart space and then the other? And then offer gratitude for this awareness, for one, and recognizing that there is open-heartedness. And then let's rejoin. Okay, so in terms of a step, are you, what would it take for you to like feel that feeling in your body when the stress hits?
Yeah, I think it's doing this goofy, like, I don't know, Sasquatch sort of like walking,
you
know?
Okay.
Or like even just thinking of it, like I don't actually have to get up and walk, but maybe just kind of start to move my limbs because I get really serious. Yeah, that's probably my great Achilles heel is when I'm under duress, I feel like, oh, seriousness is the way forward.
And, interesting. Okay. You know,
that is not a connective. That's not a good connective.
Approach. Yeah.
And so I think it might, doing this would like, okay, pull out my goofy side, but would also remind me of that walking down the hill with my daughter, Annie, and how quickly a moment of open-heartedness happened after a moment of stress. Like,
yeah, okay. All right. So that sounds fantastic. I really want to acknowledge you for recognizing that there's a physical, that you had a physical experience that felt like the shift.
Yeah.
That says that you're, I mean, that you're very connected to your body is what I'm hearing. And you're connected to kind of how your emotion and your body are connected. I think that's fantastic. So what I'm curious about then is what do you do now? We've really gotten one step. So what happens next? Where do you want to go? Since we've got to wrap up, what happens next in terms of if there's more steps, kind of discovering them and continuing to build out this
approach? Yeah, so I think I can do this after the call, but the second step is like to turn toward the person I'm with.
Okay.
To engage them somehow. And then I do think it'd be helpful for me to kind of sketch out maybe step 3 and 4.
Okay.
But those, that's a really great start for 10 minutes or whatever. Yeah.
Great, I'm so glad. And what, when will you do at least step 2 and...
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd probably be best if I did it this evening. I have to leave right after this call, but while I'm driving, I can keep thinking about it.
And that'd be great. Yeah. Good. And how will you let me know that you are, that you've done this or that you've got your 4 steps?
Yeah. If you would be open to me sending you an email.
That would be
tomorrow
great.
Tomorrow or the day after.
I will look forward to that.
A good accountability mechanism for me.
Yeah. Good. You're welcome. All right, Matt, have you got what you needed?
I did, yeah. Thanks, Liz.
Good. All right. Thank you so much for trusting me with the opportunity to coach you. And we'll have everyone else join back, please. With much gratitude to Matt. I'm sure we could all use steps to handle our stress. Okay. What do we notice? What questions might you have for me from the coaching side or for Matt from the client side about how things were? Anything that stood out?
Sorry, can I just jump in?
Yeah, do please, Lance.
I'm working with a coach right now, and it's the first time, and I see it, and I understand it, but I don't. That's why I'm here. I don't totally understand it. Is this emergent quality, like trying to facilitate emergence of things that I didn't know were quite ready to emerge. And I saw that, I felt like there was a practice or there was an intentionality of kind of going back. Like you actually asked him, why do you want to do this? And like this sense of scooping back. So somebody's having to go backward in order to like let something go forward. Is that a part of the practice? Or am I just making it up?
it's curious because for me, like I want to get, when I asked the question, what it just came to my mind of like, Matt is motivated about this. And right. I'd like to draw up that motivation.
Mm-hmm. Great. I got that.
You know, I hear that. And so to bring the motivation into the steps process just felt, you know, important. And you do, like you mentioned intuition earlier, and you do go on your intuition of like, would this be helpful right now? You know, and I'm so in another session, I might not have asked that. It just felt like I wanted to get a bit of the, you know.
No, I love that bringing the source of the motivation into the space is almost automatically going to do something.
Yeah. So that's where that came. And to your point, I love that you used the word emergent because that is a lot around, why, when we're coaching, one of the key things we're doing is forwarding the action. So really supporting the client to identify what the action is and moving it along. And that is emergent. I mean, that has to emerge in the session. So I love that word. It's great. Thanks for that. Yeah. You may have noticed, and I know that we're coming up on our time, and I will say a few minutes after if people have more questions about classes, about order, about whatever else. I did a lot of interrupting. So I'm sure you noticed that. Matt may have noticed that. And of course, I want to hear all about this hike that he was on with his daughters. And I kept checking in to make sure we were still on track. So that's one of the things that when we're learning to be coaches, it's one of the hardest things to interrupt because it feels rude and you're like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. We're not taught to be this way, but so important to make sure that you are sticking to the client's agenda, that you're getting to the point of action and that you can wrap up in the end with that accountability piece. So though it may have seemed like, well, oh my gosh, she's just not letting him talk. There's a reason and a method beyond that. Yeah, it's trying to kind of like, just make sure we're still on track. So I kept checking in with what's the heart doing? What is that, what's happening there? So any other questions or comments, Laura?
Well, it seemed like the, what I appreciated about the interrupting and the story part is the first action step actually came from his body anyway. So I appreciated the going back to body, touching in, a little bit of story, going back to body, touching in, and just how that emerged, the action step from the body.
Yes. Wonderful. All right.
Liv, I really appreciated when you said very directly, so what's the first step? And I wanted to be like, you know, let's kind of explore some more, like where this is coming from and the feelings. And I was a little on the spot, but it, helped to show how much the answers were kind of already there. Like, and it could sort of dispense with a lot of the extraneous stuff.
Yeah, sometimes that's what it takes. And kind of when I ask questions like that, it's really coming from the fundamental assumption we have as coaches about our clients, which is that they are creative, resourceful, and whole, and that they have the answers. So we are there to walk with them and kind of partner with them as they rediscover what they had, that they actually have this within them. Yes, fantastic. All right, so I want to just, if there's other questions about courses, about timing, I see that Rachel has asked a question in the chat about timing of the writing course. And we will see. Let us have a look, Rachel, and see when and if we might be able to make that a bit more friendly. I did have a student from New Zealand, a couple of summers ago, and she just got really tired of joining at 4 a.m. So I hear you, I know. And then there was a question also about, in Matt's class this summer, would you be learning the questioning approach that I use? I think, is that right? Is it Mika or Micah? So the answer that Matt provided in the chat is absolutely spot on, that skillful means is going to be more where you begin to develop that kind of muscle around kind of powerful questions. And you continue to work on that throughout all of the courses after you take skillful means. And you practice it. So you're paired with partner students, different student each week, so that you can practice asking those questions and just get used to it. Yeah, Lance.
I'm looking at the full schedule of all the different offerings. It looks like you can do more than one class at the same period.
You can indeed.
Okay.
Yeah, it all depends upon, like I was saying earlier, life commitments, budgetary commitments. And one of the things that I really like about our school is that you don't have to come in and sort of like declare a major and sort of sit like pay the money all at once. You have the opportunity to pay as you go. So you take a course, maybe you don't take a course for a term, then you take two courses, you pay for what you're taking, which is just, it's a bit friendlier to the budget and allows you to kind of manage that a little more. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. And there you go. Also in Australia. Are you still on lockdown where you are? Maybe.
I mean, we had no COVID cases for a while, and then there's a few, and then it goes into lockdown. Sydney is in lockdown. I'm in Melbourne. We have had the most lockdown restrictions. Yeah, we went into one about 2-3 weeks ago, but we're out again. So it's just become a way of life. Like,
good. Well, I'm glad and hope that you continue to be safe.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions that Matt or I can answer for you? It's been such a pleasure, and I've really appreciated the conversation that everyone has shared.
I guess I have one more question. Am I unmuted? So you prefaced the session that you gave. It was ICF, and I understand why, because I know some of the prerequisites around that. In the actual mindfulness method, where else would it go if you were going more deeply into the methodology of the school itself rather than ICF?
Not sure if I'm following the question.
Let me
take a stab, and you can redirect or tune me up if it's off. But
I guess I was asking, how far out does it get
from the
ICF, from like, you know, from an ICF sort of framework, how far away from that does your work get in the school?
So we are accredited by the ICF because we teach to the ICF core competencies. So that is our responsibility, I guess, in terms of preparing professional coaches according to the standards of that organization.
Right.
Now, when you learn and become a coach and kind of get out in the world, you are working from that foundation and have the ability to flex based upon the population you're working with, the types of issues you're working with, mm-hmm. whatever's coming up. What we want to make sure in terms of getting kind of like, if I could like use your words, being far out, kind of like diverting, we just want to make sure we're not getting into the realm of trying to be therapists or consultants. Mm-hmm. So our gig is not to diagnose and come up with like why the person is the way they are and all that on the therapy side. Our gig is also not to set to tell someone, this is what you must do. This is your answer. Well, why don't you just do this? Like, that's a consulting kind of thing. So we're really in that space of partnership and again, to use the word of like helping them to find, you know, the emergent path, helping them to move forward. So one of the analogies that I often will use is like a musician, classically trained, will learn the foundations. And then when that person is off and doing their career, they may find all kinds of ways to use the training that they've done in a way that makes something beautiful. So I don't know if that answers your question. But the idea is really to create that foundation. And we just, in our school, we just do that with an element of mindfulness and connecting with the body and all of that, which is not really the common approach.
Yeah.
So cool. Thank you for the questions. All right, everyone. If there's nothing further, I will release you off to either your days for those in Australia, New Zealand, or to your evenings for the rest of us. And again, I really appreciate your presence and participation with us today.
Thanks for hosting
us. And thank you, Matt, for joining. So hopefully we'll see you all soon.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.